That is crazy that you can see Hayward Field in.
I know.
And
it's so cool because then, I've watched it since.
It's Animal House, right? So
yeah,
you can when they're shooting the golf balls, you can see Hayward Field in the background. That was filmed on the University of Oregon's campus.
Yep. If you didn't know that, fun fact, go Hayward Field.
All right. Yo, everybody, this is another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. On this episode, it's me and Zach, so Dr. Leo and Zach Goulet. And it's a run little, run better conversation. So basically, kind of one of the concepts that I've sort of taken under consideration over the last couple of years, last 5 years, really.
Yeah.
I think since COVID. So basically, a little bit of my backstory. So, I ran at a pretty high level and definitely did 100 plus mile weeks for a long time. And then in 2015, I stopped doing that. I just stopped running at a decent volume and, basically just didn't run really much at all from 2015 to COVID. And then I started running again in COVID because I had some injuries and I just didn't want to get any surgery or anything. And then when I started running again in COVID, I kind of started to take it serious. I got into the 40, 50 mile range per week. And then I got injured again. And then I was like, all right, well, this is really dumb. I was really enjoying getting back into running and competing. So then I thought to myself, I think, what if I just cap it at 20 miles a week? You know, I remember I was on a run and it was in the middle of winter. So it was probably early 2021. And I'm like, I bet you I can run sub 3 in the marathon doing no more than 20 miles a week. I just had this random thought in my head. And then I thought to myself, okay, well, if I can do that, then I'm sure I can just reproduce that constantly because running 20 miles a week is just very little skin off your back. And sure enough, I was able to do it. I ran 246 at Carmel on legitimately no more than 20 miles a week. And then I've reproduced that then 17 times since.
How was that feeling your first time running sub 3 off the 20 mile a week thing? What was that feeling like?
It was actually a really interesting feeling because it was pretty scary, actually, I think, throughout the race because I just didn't know when the wheels would fall off. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was just waiting and waiting and my legs still feel good. And I went through the half and I'm like, my legs still feel good. And actually, for miles 17 to 22 were my fastest miles. And then, anybody that's done a marathon, once you get, north of 18, north of 20, it's like you can start getting after it because you kind of know deep down if you're going to have to slow down, you're going to hit the wall. And I just felt nothing but positive energy and just nothing but, acceleration. So I was pretty shocked by that. I then went on to run, a bunch of different marathons and they weren't quite so fast as 246. My overall marathon PR is 218 from previous. So I'm just kind of dabbling with it in this world. But in doing this very little running scheme, I mean, I've been able to do all these different marathons and I was able to do rim to rim to rim, and which was roughly 45 miles or so in the Grand Canyon. So it's definitely reproducible. And so this basically just kind of turned me onto this concept of I think we just if you just, a lot of people, especially if you come from the hyper competitive running world, they're all in or all out. And I think if you listen to the Alex Phillips episode, I really agree with what he was saying. It's just dude, just go out and have fun. Legitimately, nobody cares. Don't take it so serious that you're running crazy tons of miles. Just keep a foot in the door and just still stay involved in the sport. And I think that's great.
Well, that's been my journey through getting back into running. And I don't even want to say competitive running because it's not my world, but I just like to go out and be a part of the atmosphere and be part of the day and whatever that is. And I after college, and I know I've talked about it on here a couple of times, but I was very burnt out because I was very injured. And it was one of those cases for me, I couldn't handle high mileage in college. And when I would try to, I would get injured or I would run through a very bad stress fracture or just something of that sort. And so when I finished, I was like, I'm done with this. It was kind of like what Alex said. That episode was so, I think, valuable in that aspect for college athletes that are going to transition is that for him, the idea of continuing to run 100 mile weeks was very daunting because he did it at such a high level at such a long time. And for myself, it was just on a different level, it was just daunting to always start back from square one. And then when I was burnt out for 7 years, I didn't do anything. And then I would have these glimpses of like, I'm going to get back into it, but it was all in or all out. So when I was all in,
remember we used to make contracts for you.
Yeah, I do remember that. And like, it was hard because then I like,
because basically mind, you would like get something in your head. You'd be like, oh yeah, dude, I'm going to do this race. And then
I'm going to try to break this time, whatever it was.
And then you wouldn't do it. And then, then we started writing contracts out and having you sign it.
I would get like a month of like good solid training in. And then it would either be one where I would get to the point where I would feel my sweat or my fitness transition over to like, I can do some workouts now. And then I would go back to thinking of what that was in college. And I go, no, I'm done. And I would literally go home and like order pizza and just like drink and like be like, I'm not doing this. Or I would start out too fast where I would like have a nerve issue, have a bone irritation issue, yeah, something. And it wasn't probably until, gosh, 3 years ago, really, in the last like year and a half, is when I started to believe in run little, be able to still go out and perform.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Kind of the, I know I kind of, one time I was treating a patient and then, I was tinkering with these ideas of run little, run better sort of thing. And then they were like, oh, my wife joined, blah, blah, blah club. And then for some reason I heard, and they were talking about a running club. And for some reason I heard that the wife joined the Run Little Run Club.
And then you're like, wait a second, is that even like, a club?
And I was like, that's actually a really cool name. So that's why I kind of started.
Well, it's brilliant. And like, you know, I've told some of my patients this story and I'm pretty sure I told you at some point, but it really clicked with me after we did Grand Canyon. And like the buildup to Grand Canyon was not great. We live, like we have busy lives. We have wives, we have vacations. We have things that we do outside of just what we do here at the clinic.
Yeah.
And you know, it was really cool to get through Grand Canyon the way that we did on very little. But then what clicked with me was after that, I started to do a slow build and I had a non-negotiable 20 miles a week. And that could be 20 miles a week, or if I wanted to do 25 or 30, whatever, but I had to at least hit 20 miles a week. And I did like 8 minute pace or slower for my easy runs. And then I just got to the point where my mind would naturally start to be like, all right, let's do like a mile repeats at 6:45, 7 minute pace, whatever. And then again, always going back to those easy runs slower, like not doing anything crazy. And then I did in Lakewood, they have a reindeer run in December. And I'm telling you, the workouts that I did were like mile repeats at like 6:30 pace.
Yeah.
So going into that, I was like, I don't know what I can run a 5K in. Let's just try to break 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And I ended up running 17:24. And what clicked with me with what you're saying is that having that consistent 20 mile week, non-negotiable, just get it in, whatever it is, I think helped me be able, one, to maintain whatever fitness I had or build the strength, keep the energy up for me to actually go out there and feel pretty good despite not actually doing a training block.
I know. So yeah, it's interesting because a lot of times when we talk to people about running low mileage, so just to clarify, if you don't run low mileage and you run higher mileage, like awesome. That's fine. Like there's zero, I mean, like,
if I think it gives you the opportunity to really see what you can do.
If I had the kind of life that I basically would have the time and opportunity to run farther, like I probably would, but I just don't. Like I just have like, you know, multiple things happening with the business and then with family. And it's just like, it's just not a priority to handle that much volume, but it obviously was in my 20s and 30s. And so I put the work in. So I do believe that running farther obviously will make you better. Like there's no, that's a non-negotiable. But if you don't have the time or the opportunity, and instead of just being like, yeah, I'm not going to run anymore, like, why not just run like 15, 20 miles a week? It's really very little skin off your back. And then all of a sudden you can get back to enjoying all the experiences of running. You know, you can run major marathons, you can run local races and just be a part of the community. And it doesn't have to be so like all or nothing. But when I say this, a lot of people just think that I run those 20 miles hard all the time. And I don't, they're just easy. They're just, I just, you know, put around town and just run easy miles. And if one day I feel really good, I just pick it up and run faster. And if another day I don't feel good, I just run slower. And I don't really care what my watch says. I don't really care what my pace is. I just run slow. And then if I feel good, I run fast. And now trust me, like I obviously like back in the day had very structured workouts and was very, I know the world of splits. I know the world, I get all that, but you know, that's just not that. I mean, and it's really fun too, because when you go into a race, it's, if you're in shape and you run a balls to the wall marathon and you run 218, it hurts about the same as if you're running 20 miles a week and you run a balls to the wall marathon at 245. It's like it hurts the same. It's a great experience either way. Like, and so, you know, it's just one of those things where I find joy in the joy of effort of that rather than like, and I'm not so beholden to what is the time. I've already run my fast times. So I'm done with that. I'm just more interested in like still feeling the joy of effort of it all, like experiencing the thrills of it all.
It to me too, I think what it does for me is it always makes me feel like the one conversation that I hate is like, we're just getting older. We're just getting older. And it's like, yeah, we are like whatever, like, but that's not true.
Yeah.
And what I think the 20 mile a week run little mindset has given me is that when I'm focused on that and I go out and I do a race, I'm always surprised at what I can do because I've been like, I truly hardly ran from college until the last couple years ago.
Yeah.
And when I did that run and I ran 17:24, it made me think like, oh, if I just put in like a little bit more effort, I could run 16:30. I could run a minute faster. And it's like, I still have that. Like I still have that capability of being competitive if I want to.
Yeah.
But if I have a busy life and that's all I can do, at least I can run and be in some sort of shape to run fairly fast, depending on the race that you do, you know? And I think that's really cool because then it's like, no, we're not old. We're just like in a different phase of life. We just, we don't have that time or that ability to go out and run the 60, 70 miles a week, but we can still be somewhat competitive.
I know it's funny because it's a weird thought, but like, I often think of this, like, you know, my little daughter, she's 4. And then when we're at the pool, like I throw her into the pool. Right. And it's like, it's fun. Like I throw my daughter into the pool. It's great. And she thinks I'm big, strong guy and all that.
Big, tough guy.
So I could go to the gym and lift weights every day and get really jacked and throw her 2 feet farther. But like, it's like, what's the point?
What's the point?
Yeah. It's like, it's like, if I can run a race like you can run 17:20, like, and it's not very much skin off your back. You're not, you know, there's not much effort you're putting into it. You kind of just a little flick of the wrist. You wake up one day and then all of a sudden, like, there you go. You run 17:20. Or you can take it crazy serious and then get down to 16:30 and have everything sort of be stressed around your life. It's like, well, it's fun sometimes to push the envelope and chase that 16:30, but it's also like nice to just be able to wake up and know you can just run 17:20 and do a good effort. And it's like not have that be any stressor. It's actually a positive thing.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's interesting about this is if you are interested in just kind of like you're a busy person, you want to keep racing and you want to just kind of make it a thing without making it a thing, if you know what I mean. You want to make sure that you take more than 2 days off in a row. Right. That's kind of a big deal.
That's the big thing.
So like, say you're only running 20 miles in a week, like you can run, you know, 5 on Monday, 5 on Thursday, 10 on Saturday. So that way, like you're never taking more than 2 days off in a row. You know, that obviously adds up to 20. You can go kind of an 80% of the time week for me would be like a 3-3-4-10. So like, you know, Monday, Tuesday might be, or Monday, Thursday might be 3s, Friday might be 4. And then on the weekend I run 10. And then that's kind of an average week for me. And that's easy because, you know, anytime you take more than 2 days off in a row, cardiovascular wise, you actually still maintain a lot of the benefits of running, but mechanically speaking, you actually become a little bit more injury prone. So if you just run like once a week or twice a week with big gaps off in between, then you kind of almost start over from a mechanical perspective, meaning your tendons, your bone density, the fascia has to then sort of continually strengthen. Whereas if you just keep a foot in the door and just run fairly consistently, even if it's like every third day you're running just 2 miles, it's still worth it to keep a foot in the door so that your body doesn't get weaker and more vulnerable to injuries. And that's the trick. So that way you can still compete in like ultras and marathons and still really enjoy like true distance events without actually having to really, you know, train a ton with volume.
Right. Right. And then you can, and then I feel like it opens up the door to variability for what you want to do that day.
Yeah.
So like I've gotten into runs, like long runs, where I'll be driving to the trail or going to the towpath, and I'm like, I'm just going to go easy today. And then like halfway through, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to like pick it up. And then, but you know that like that next day or that, or day after, you can run 3 miles and kind of recover from that. And well, so
the psychology of that's good, right? Because if you go to the trail and you have this huge effort in your mind, mm-hmm. and then the effort doesn't go the way you want, then you walk away from that, like a little bit less confidence. Mm-hmm. But say you go in, you're like, I don't really care what happens. I'm just going to get an hour in.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you get to the trail and you feel good. Well, then you walk away with a positive experience, but then you get to the hour or to the trail and the hour you feel bad. Well, you don't walk away with a bad experience because you didn't have you didn't anticipate anything. So you weren't expecting to feel good or bad. You were just expecting to run 1 hour. So it's like those subtle things eat away at your confidence. And like, that's why you just walk in with no judgment. And these workouts are just, these runs are just non-judgmental. You're just putting time in. And then that way you're not chipping away at like your subconscious of like, I'm not as fast. I'm not as strong. Like, you know, I used to be this, like, I literally don't even think about my past. I don't even think about what I was able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like another world. Like,
and that's like that's the thing that's like so upsetting to me about like the college athletics or landscape is that you leave there, or at least I left there. Like I was competitive. I was, you know, I was captain on the team. I ran decently fast, but
who voted you captain?
The team.
Nice.
Yeah. But the thing that like I left with was like a non-ability to have enjoyment in the sport of running. And like, I think about this a lot on runs now when I'm out there, it's like, I'm happy to have that love and I'm happy to have that passion back. And it wouldn't be and a lot of the reason is because it's for running lower mileage and actually feeling good again and feeling like I'm getting stronger. But it's helped guide me to have that mindset of like, okay, I can add a little bit more here, or I can push here a little bit more. Or like what I've been telling some of my, you know, my old teammates is like, look, if you can run little and have consistency through that, and then you get to a point where your mind goes, hey, I want to try to run a fast marathon or qualify for Boston or do this ultra race, then you can capture that window of time where you increase your mileage, put together a good training block. But then when that's done, rather than then just being done and being like, well, I'm going to wait till next year to figure something out. It's like, you just go back to the 20 miles a week, keep it easy. You still have a good balanced life. You can still go on vacation and not feel like you're going to miss runs or miss. Yeah. It's like, it's always a great, it's like an easy way to like get back and reset yourself to have that enjoyment. So then you are excited again for that next challenge.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that might be.
Yeah. And it's not crazy either. Like, so say you know, bring in a vacation, like say you go on vacation and you really want to enjoy it. Like it's in the middle of the summer, you're going on a cruise or you're going to the beach or whatever, like just every third day run for 20 minutes. I mean, you could easily do that. Like,
oh, it's so easy.
Probably feel pretty good to do that. Actually.
I've actually gotten to a point where,
and that's how you just keep the ball rolling in the right direction. It doesn't have to be like, well, I'm on vacation, I can't run at all. That's not true. You can find 20 minutes.
Right.
To hit a treadmill somewhere on the cruise, to run on the upper deck, to, you know, run on the beach somewhere, like you could definitely find 20 minutes.
There's time. Like if you go out the night before, like, you know, you're just going to wake up feeling a little froggy and you know, you do 10, 20, 15, whatever, you know, you got to do. It's not going to be that hard to get a couple minutes into, you know, of running when you're on vacation. But yeah, it's even like, you know, you like to travel. I feel like me and my wife travel a decent amount as well. Just odd weekend stuff. And I like, when I first signed up for Akron, I was like, Jacqueline, and like, we were considering going to Ireland and we ended up not going, but I was like, yeah, Jacqueline, I'm going to sign up for Akron. And she's like, well, we're going to go to Ireland. And that's like 2 weeks before. And I was like, look, at this point, like, this is just our life. Like, yeah. I want to race. I want to do, you know, these things, but I also want to travel. It's just like, this is what it's going to be. And I just got to figure it out. And again, like when I'm on vacation, 20 miles a week.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do, and you can still go and have a good time. You can still go and sightsee, go out and party and, you know, and party and do whatever you want to do. Like, it's not hard.
I remember I was talking with this patient a long time ago, and this is also what sort of inspired me, the 100 miler. Did I tell you this story?
No.
It was a patient that was getting ready to run 100 miles. And then I was like, oh man, you're ready, getting excited. And they're like, dude, are you ever ready for a 100-miler? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that's actually a really good point, because you hear often in the marathon, you're like, man, you got to run 320s or else you can't do it. And it's like, no, that's not accurate. Because in the marathon, you would never go, dude, you got to do 380 milers or you can't complete the 100.
You're not going to be able to do it.
It's like, obviously you would not do that. Right. And right. I guess the point at what I'm really poking at is we are putting less value on the day itself in terms of trying to over prepare. And so we are so obsessed with over preparation that the day itself is a special experience. And so the 100 miler community or the ultra community has sort of figured this out, like just stay fit and active with running and then do the 100, because no way to cut it. You're not going to be adequately prepared for the 100. Like, you're just not.
Right.
And so that day is going to be, you know, hard. It's going to be hell, but that's the point.
That's why
that's
we do it.
That's literally why you do it. It's not like, so I took that concept and I just applied it to, like, you know, the marathon. It's like, I think we over prepare. Like my last couple of marathons, I didn't go farther than 18 miles and, you know, I was fine. I mean, it certainly wasn't a 218 experience, obviously, but it was still a good solid effort. I still ran 250. I still had a good solid effort. And, you know, and obviously each event sort of builds on itself, but the point being is, like, we don't have to prepare as much as we think we do. Like, there's definitely room for us to explore some varieties of options heading into that.
Yeah. I think the back end too of that is, like, if you are a person that has a busy schedule, I think the best complement for 20-mile week approach has to be dialed in, not dialed in, but like more thoughtful nutrition habits and patterns, obviously good hydration. You know, I think, I mean, it's important for any type of training, but because you're running little, it doesn't give you the excuse of eating a large pizza and having a Diet Coke or whatever.
You're bringing up a phenomenal point. And this is maybe the most important point.
I struggle with this too.
The only reason why it actually works is, one of the only reasons is, you're operating at such a high level with your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, like, eating good, sleeping good, and, you know, just staying stress-free and just trying to, you know, manage all that. And it's like, if you're doing that correctly, then 100%, you definitely don't need to be hammering as much volume. Because, like, for instance, let's put it this way. If you compared me, who would eat really well and sleep really well and manage stress well, running 20 miles a week, to somebody who does not eat well, does not manage stress well, and does not sleep well, running 40 miles a week, we might have an equivalent effort. And it's because they're kind of pissing away the extra 20 miles a week. They're kind of like, yeah, it's an increased stimulus, but they're not adapting to that stimulus. So for instance, in that case, let's just arbitrarily speak, they might be running 40 miles a week, but really only adapting to about 20 miles of that, only about 50% of the volume. Whereas in my case, I'm adapting to 100% of the volume because I've created a lifestyle so that I'm adapting to that volume. So that's why I can get away with less. It's just a matter of percentages. And so a lot of times, like, you know, we used to say in college, like, if the fire's hot enough, it'll burn anything. So meaning, if you're running 100 miles a week, you can eat like junk. Well, okay, if you compare it at that level, somebody that runs 80 miles a week, that's doing all the right things, which is what I did in the second half of my elite career, versus running 100 plus miles a week doing the wrong things. I mean, I literally used to eat it like a gallon of ice cream for dinner at times. I was fitter with the 80 miles a week than I was with the 100 miles a week. You could just see it in my training logs. And I was doing that because I just led a better life. I went to chiropractic school. I understood how, like, nutrition matters. I understood about, like, the mechanics of things. And then so I would just cap it at 80 miles a week. And I literally went from running a 222 marathon to a 218. I dropped 4 minutes in the marathon, running average of 20 miles a week less. And it's just because I was adapting to the 80% or to 100% to the 80 miles and not to, like, 60, 70% of the 100 miles a week. And that's a really critical concept that you just maximize what you're adapting to.
And I think, like, if someone were to ask, like, well, how do I know that? I've noticed that when I was dialed in after Grand Canyon, like, with nutrition, with hydration, with sleep, that after some of my runs where I would run a little bit harder, I would finish, but then I would immediately go into recovery. So meaning like I would look at my heart rate. I mean, use your watch, whatever. And the times that I wasn't dialed in and I was running harder, my heart rate would generally stay between like 72 to 80 throughout the day. And when I was dialed in, again, at a harder effort, but running less, I would immediately go back down to like 62, 50s. Yeah. And then I just felt like I was recovering so much better, but I had to be mindful about what I was putting into my body. So yeah. It wasn't like a candy bar after, like it was just good, solid nutritional food with good hydration patterns and electrolytes and sleep. And it's like, that's the way I think that you can know that you're in that right pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this weird superpower that if I know something is bad for me, I can't really eat it. So sweets are like not really even a thing of mine. And it also works the opposite way. If I know something's good for me, I can eat it no matter what, even if it tastes horrible. Yeah. Except for creatine. I struggle to take creatine for some reason.
It's just like out of sight and out of mind. Like it's such
but it's like little... my stomach gets queasy with it for Does some it reason. Really? But you know, so that's kind of a weird little superpower there. But I think like, well, it doesn't always work on alcohol. I do enjoy alcohol.
I know.
But I have limited that down to like, you know, maybe one time a week or so I might have a drink.
I'm bad with it.
But one of the other key points with this is that it's also not like I lift every day and I do core every day either. Like I'm being dead serious. I really just run 20 miles a week. I don't cross train. I barely ever do core. I literally don't lift. I mean, you can tell like I barely lift. I might do push-ups and a couple pull-ups here and there, but I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't love this about myself. I wish I could create more time to do that. I'm just not making it a priority. But what I will say is, I mean, I'm genuinely just running 20 miles a week. I'm not biking half hour every day. I'm not doing any of that kind of stuff. I'm not doing cross training. So it works off just, I literally mean just 20 miles a week. Here's the trick, and this is what I figured out. Your core adapts like super quick. So if you don't do core work through your training cycle, you know, that's not great, but you're also not putting a ton of volume in, so you're probably not tearing down your body quite like you think you might be. However, there is a performance detriment to that. I would say 2 to 3 weeks before your goal race, try to do 10 minutes of core every single day. And then if you do that, you're more likely to adapt quickly because your core adapts within 14 to 21 days. And then all of a sudden heading into your race, that's going to be this like, you know, icing on the cake, this added stimulus. That's a very positive thing. And it didn't detract from your life. It's 10 minutes. You can dedicate 10 minutes to this, but say it's crazy. You're building up for a marathon. It's kind of on the back burner. And then you're like me, next thing you know, like 2 weeks from now, I have a marathon. And it's like, crap, well, I got to start doing core work. And then, you know, that kind of matters, but I think I can get away with that a little bit more than most because of my job. And I think you would agree with that because we're up on our feet all day long, physically treating people. I'm like, I'm a chiropractor. I'm a sports chiropractor. So I, you know, work with patients all day long. I'm pushing their bodies. I'm working on their muscles. It's like, I'm standing, I'm moving. And so, which kind of brings up another hack.
I think I know what you're going to say,
which is running after a long week and definitely running long after a work day. Mm-hmm. I've done this a couple of times where I've done long runs after working on Friday. So Friday, I'll kind of work like a half day.
Oh man.
Zach and I heading into the Grand Canyon did a 50K.
I got to 20 because like, I was cooked.
Yeah. So basically we worked on Friday. So from 9 to 1, and then we just like laid around quasi stretching, staring at each other for like an hour. Like, are we really going to run a 50K right now? That's like stupid. After work. And we did. And it was a hot day.
Yeah.
It was wicked hot. And then I was able to squeeze out a 50K. But I've done this with like 16 milers, 18 milers at the end of a work day. And that 1000% mimics a marathon, like the second half of a marathon. Mm-hmm. And you just get used to the beating on your legs. Even if you have a desk job where you're not moving around, I mean, obviously you're still working. So the mind is still fatigued. And you can see how mental fatigue often, you know, will relate to physical fatigue. But you know, if you want to kind of do this, like run little, run better concept, running your long runs at the end of a work day can, or a work week can be very, very beneficial.
It's
like meaning the day of. So not like Saturday morning.
Right.
Like at Friday afternoon, like
when you're tired and mentally exhausted, whatever.
Dude, you just want TGIF. You do not want to be running right now.
Well, and like it makes it fun too, because you can actually adapt your work environment to help with your training. Mm-hmm. And like in my room, I got rid of my desk that I had and got a standing desk, because if I'm going to do ultras, I need to have more time on feet. And it's like those down periods when I have like a, you know, sometimes up to an hour break before my next patient, I want to be able to stand and do work and just be on my feet.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, like in your scenario, so if you're going to do a 100 miler and you work literally on your feet all day, massaging people, and then when you're at your computer, you work on your feet. So then like arbitrarily 80, 90% of your day, you're literally on your feet. So you might be able to get away running 100 miles off 20, 30 miles a week versus somebody who might have to be 40, 50 miles a week if they are at a desk job, mm-hmm. because they're just literally sitting there.
Yeah.
And so there's less like compression on the legs and time on the feet. And that's like fascial density, bone density, architecture of the joints are sort of responding to that stress.
Yeah.
And you're adapting, and then now all of a sudden you need less of a stimulus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like my approach. So today, before we got on here, I signed up for Mohican 100. So this will be my first 100 mile attempt.
Yikes.
And at the end of May, and I'm really, I'm excited, nervous, whatever. It's going to be fun. But I've had a couple people that I've told that I'm going to do this session. Like, well, how are you going to approach it? And I said, my non-negotiable is I at least have to do 20 miles a week. Now, granted, I do want to actually, like, I'm at a point in my life where I want to dedicate an actual training block. So I want to at least get up to like, I would like to get up to like 60 miles a week and sustain that for mm-hmm. at least a couple weeks, or whatever. But I know that's not the way that it works. Like this week in general, like it was my birthday yesterday. I hung out with my wife all day. I didn't get to run on Tuesday. I'm not going to be able to run today. Just because I'm going to a concert tonight and then tomorrow at the Akron Marathon Expo. So I know that there's going to be weeks where it's like, it's going to be harder. So again, it has to be 20 miles a week for me, at least, but I want to get that build, but I got to be comfortable and I have to accept that during this block, because I'm busy, that I'm going to have weeks where it's just not going to be possible to hit that 45, 50, 60 mile week. And it's okay.
Well, and that kind of brings up a good point. Like sometimes like this happened this summer, for some reason, like I used to run at lunch a couple of days a week. And for some reason this summer, I just could not find the time. Like I was always like putting out fires at lunch and just dealing with stuff. And so what I ended up doing was I kind of really started to get mad and bitter about it. So then I'm like, man, F it. Let me run before work.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more tired. I don't like running. I really don't like running in the morning.
I'm the same way too.
But sometimes like when you run in the morning, you're pushing back against the day. You're sort of setting the tone of the day saying like, this is on my terms. I'm waking up and making this decision and this is a priority for me. And then that sort of like gives you this weird confidence for the mm-hmm. day. And I'm not going to lie. By the end of the days, I was definitely more tired, but I did feel like that helped me take control of my day better. Mm-hmm. And instead of, for me, running kind of would just fit in somewhere, having that day starting it out as a priority kind of mattered, even though I had to wake up literally only a half hour earlier to get it done. But it still like just felt so much more impactful on the psychology of the day.
I couldn't agree more with that. Anytime that I've run in the morning, the day seems easier.
Yeah.
It seems more you're in control. You're not stressing about, those small things.
That's a good point. Cause like, say you get in a fight with your spouse or loved one, and then you go for a run and you come back, you're not going to keep fighting.
Oh gosh.
So like, if you start your day by diffusing all this like energy and just like, essentially like running it out of your system, then you're just much more like monotone throughout the day from an energy standpoint. Right. You're not going to be like rapid fire. Like somebody comes to you with something that could be really frustrating, like you're less likely to respond like negatively. You're kind of just more in control. You're more like a general instead of like a foot soldier.
Right. Right. Well, what Sam Waugh posted that thing on Instagram where, if you run in the morning, your day can't get any worse or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then, so I think we're kind of rounding third on the episode here, but I have one more kind of final point. But Do you have any kind of final points with regards to this kind of run better, run or run less, run better concept?
Yeah, I mean, I think like if any like former college athlete, runner, track athlete, cross country runner is struggling with the idea of getting back into running because of their experience or just at the high level that they ran, like really experiment with this. Because again, we have nothing to prove at this point. Like, especially if you've been out of the game, like there's nothing mm-hmm. to prove. You've just been so far out of the game, but that doesn't mean that you give up on running. It doesn't mean that you give up on the joy of challenging yourself. It just means that you have to shift the mind to be okay with going out there and just running lower mileage because this is where you're at. And the other thing too is that anybody that is doing this, it's not, for me, the way that I look at it is that this isn't something that I'm doing because I want to perform at a high level. It's something that I want to integrate in my life because yeah. I want long-term sustainability. So when I'm 60 and 70, I can still go out and I can run at whatever capacity that is. But if I always have the mindset of like, I'm either all in or all out, well, I'm going to set myself up to not be as active in my older age, which I don't want.
Yeah.
And so I think like establishing this concept is really important for longevity in health and life.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it beats up your body less and you just yeah. kind of feel better throughout. I know a lot of times, like if I talk to, so a lot of people that know how fast I ran in the past. And if I talk to somebody and I'm like, oh yeah, are you training for anything? A lot of times they'll want to put up this front and be like, oh yeah, man. I'm like training really hard. I'm trying to run like 2:38 Chicago or something. And I'm like, and I look at them like, why? Like, I kind of feel bad for you. Like, you don't have to do that to yourself. Like, you know, just go have fun. Like, you know, we all know who the elites are. Like, we all get it. And we all know who's like in that world. Like, you don't have to like, you know.
You don't have to compare yourself.
You just don't have to compare yourself. And so a lot of times, like, I'll get people saying that. I'm like, and then most of the time, that kind of effort is unsustainable. And it's very hard for people to find this like gray world, this sort of purgatory that we're talking about, like kind of half in, half out. I mean, but I think it just, you know, the people that handle it well are the people that don't take themselves too serious. I mean, honestly, they laugh at themselves. They just kind of like, it's where we're at in life. Like, and I'm 40, coming up on 43 this year, and people in their 20s and 30s kind of see what I'm doing. And they're like, maybe like, oh, that's kind of a little odd. Right. But you wait till you got five kids when you're 42 and you'll see what it's like. kind of one of my final points is that you could also use like running to your advantage as well, is that like we talked about like starting your day off right and just, you know, setting the tone of the day and not, you know, not letting the scheduling of the running be overwhelming too much and all that. But sometimes like when I was in grad school, I would use running. I've told this story before on the podcast. I would use running to my advantage. And so say I had like a, say you have like a really stressful like presentation or something to do like later that day, you should probably run earlier in the day. And that kind of like we just talked about diffuses this energy, diffuses this negative energy, kind of flatlines you. So you're not so like, angst up about it and riled up about it. But on the flip side, if you're like prepping for something that like is hard to do, or like you're trying to like prepare yourself for like a test, or you're trying to like think about these rough concepts, like if you're writing a book or if you're like getting ready to do a big test or something like that, then after you do a study session, run after that in preparation. And what will happen is your mind will sort of ruminate on these things while you're running. So this way you can use running to your advantage. Like if you have a stressful event that day, try to run beforehand. If you are preparing for a stressful event, then try to run after. So your brain sort of like mulls through these difficult concepts and solidifies it in there. And that is how I was able to work at a running shoe store through grad school. I was able to be a TA, teaching assistant, all through grad school. I was able to run at an elite level through grad school. And I was getting a master's and a doctorate at the same time. And I mean, I literally did all of that in a 3-year span because I utilized my running to my advantage in the timing of the day and just understanding how our brains work and how we adapt to things. And we can all easily set up our days and structure our days to kind of take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah. Being mindful. It's important being mindful.
you're not wrong. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to another great episode. If you know anybody kind of in this similar situation, then, you know, feel free to share this episode. But we hope you enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
See you.
Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries.